This morning we will have a few testimonies from the people that went to Convergence, and then also Jock Klaassen will give us a testimony of his time in Rundu. We are very excited to hear about everything they experienced. We're first going to watch a small clip, and then Esther will start off the testimonies. Thank you.
Hello, church. Yeah, this is totally out of my comfort zone. For some reason, they put me first. I don't know why. I just quickly want to, don't start my 5 minutes yet. Just about the picnic, it's my birthday, but it's not about my birthday. I just thought it's a nice day. And it's at Arvis, not the Arvis Dam, at Eagles. It's awesome, just to all of us to fellowship together. Especially after this weekend, when Philip told all of us to testify, I thought, I don't really know where to start. I suppose I can start with, I wasn't planning on going. It was a very last minute decision. And God works in mysterious ways. I phoned Anna Marie of our SMS and I asked her, is there still space? Can I still register? And she said, I might go, but she didn't tell me why. And the reason why, because the paperwork was not yet completed and I couldn't go. But that all changed when we were at Marinta. I think you got your citizenship, so we just praise the Lord for that. We started the day. We had about, I think, six of us from here, and five. And then also five from Swakop, and we had a little busy, and JP was our very good driver. He does not like any backseat driving. But we were there, we arrived there safely, or we thought so, until we came at Century City, and we had to pick up Philip, because Pastor Philip decided he's going to join us. And we wanted to drive under the the parking space, but there's a certain height restriction. But we decided, no, we're going to trust the Lord, we're going to make this. And Clarence, one guy from Swakop, he was leaning out of the window, and we were dodging the stuff under the parking. It was quite fun. Now, if I think about it now, yeah, but not then. We were praying all the time. But we arrived there safely. It was very cold. It is Cape Town. So I think lots of us, but luckily we praised and worshipped ourselves hot again. So the journey was amazing. Just to have some fellowship with the congregation as a bigger body, and also us in church, for me and, for instance, for Martha, we had some chicken mayo toasties at Wimpy, and it was just amazing to share small experiences and having the body being bound together. And also with the bigger church, I come from Cape Town, and it was amazing just to see that we are part of a bigger body, and there's a bigger plan. We sometimes feel we're so small and insignificant, and we're not making a real change. It was at Ratanga Junction. Now, for you guys that do not know me, I'm not really into doing the right stuff, but there was a bit of peer pressure, so I decided I'm going to go in the Cobra first. Poor Yenko was sitting next to me. I think my heart has never beaten that fast. And then we started, no, we're going to be brave, we're going to do the slingshot. Now, for you guys who do not know what the slingshot is, 30 meter. Yeah, it felt like for me it was a kilometer. But anyway, it was very high. And then they pull you up and they let you fall. I had no words needed. Anyways, but beside that, if I start talking about the sessions, I didn't really have an expectation. But, you know, with God, you don't even need the expectation. He just comes and blows you out of the water when you least expect it. It's almost impossible to to tell everything in 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but Stephen Lingu was the one preacher, and he's Zimbabwean, that he had a terrible past, but that I'm not going to share. But he said something to me, for all of us, but I thought like he's speaking to me. He said the one thing, he said, just a simple thing he's going to preach about, the Lord is my shepherd. And he just started talking about Lord, what is a Lord? And I thought about the medieval times and the Lords and stuff. And If you say, the Lord is my shepherd, that means that you can't say no to a Lord. He's a Lord. So if I say, the Lord is my shepherd, then I'm not allowed to say no for anything that he's telling me, where he's sending me. And I thought, yeah, and then afterwards, he's my shepherd. So he's going to protect me when I honor him in everything and I follow him. The one thing that really stood out to me is the talk about the parable about the talents. I don't know, I think it's English, is correct. And it's just that all of us has received certain talents. Some of us one, some of us five, some of us 10. We're not going to argue about that. But even if we've got one, God one day is going to hold all of us accountable for what he has given us and what we have done with it. That's besides the point that you're already a child of God. But he's going to ask you, what did you do? And I was sitting there and I was thinking, whew, the Lord mustn't come. I'm not ready yet. One of the other sessions I talked about the reasons why we do not use our talents. It's like, for instance, you're just scared to take risks. You're scared, you don't apply effort, you're in your comfort zone. And also, obviously, fear of people. And then after that, with Fred at the end, I'm not even talking about the present worship, then Fred gave a session about knowing God, but do we really know him? And I was sitting just there, and you were there, and you can just feel the presence of the Lord so tangibly there. It is hard to describe really in words. It was just, for me, if there was any message to us as a body, is that how can we get involved in our community? How can we use our talents? It's a commandment of the Lord that you have to obey. And if you love him, you really would want to obviously please him. And I was just realizing that I'm in my comfort zone and I need to get out of there because the Lord can come tomorrow. And it was just small things like, for instance, to love your neighbor. That's the big commandment. And what does it imply? And do we really pray? Do we really testify? Do we really live in the moment sometimes? I'm somebody, it's difficult for me, contrary to belief, to speak to people, to give your testimony, for instance. It was so in line with what we had to do in that session. And the other day was the first time in a very long time that I actually gave my testimony to somebody. And it was just like almost like setting me free. It was almost kind of my testimony was a blessing for me, not really for the person. And I realized, I know it sounds terrible, but I just realized that if you want to know God, you need to spend time with him. You need to have fellowship with people around you. Because we were there, it's amazing to see almost 1,500 or 2,000 people praising together. Like the whole Ratanga Junction was going like that. And you just close your eyes and you feel God in another level. But I realized that you can have that in your room as well. And for me, the challenge was really to go back to Windhoek and to really make a difference, not go back into the comfort zone. And to really go and ask the Lord what talents he has given me and all of you guys, and that we must use it, because one day we're going to stand in front of God and he's going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you bury it and just gave it to me? And that was terrible for me, because I thought, this one guy, he didn't hurt the talent, he gave it in perfect condition back, but still the Lord wasn't pleased. So even if God is giving you something and you're not even misusing it, if you are not using it, it's already, you know, not what God wants. So, yeah.
Thank you, Esther. I'll call Henke to the front now.
I don't know if that's going to help, but I'll try anyway. Morning, guys. Just to start off, I just want to say I'm going to use amazing, epic, and wonderful. Probably too many times. It was really an amazing experience. I think all of us just had tremendous growth and revelation about Scripture, and yeah, just feel really being in the presence of the Lord. So I'm shaking. It's not an optical illusion. Anyway, yeah, it was really amazing. And I encourage all of you to just come and join us next year because it's epic. I'm just gonna try and give you like a time lapse of what happened. Starting at the beginning when we all got on the bus, we were all kind of strangers. Not like we didn't know everybody, especially the Swakopmund guys. But very quickly we all became friends, and we just had a wonderful time. And we even met some friends on the road. They blessed us with a CD, a worship CD, and before long we were all just worshiping and just praising his name, and it was great. So we really bonded as a group right there at the beginning. Just the fellowship that we experienced even just on the road was amazing. Then when we got to the sermons and everything, I'm not going to share too much about that. I'm just going to leave that to JP. I'm sure he's going to have an epic part about that. And what really stood out for me was the fellowship and just the experience of that we had. I remember when we got out of a sermon during a break or so, and everybody is just outside. It's all smiles, it's all hugs, it's all laughter, it's just peace, joy, and love. And I could really see John 13 verse 35 just happening right there. If you were walking in there and you just saw all these people with big smiles and big hugs and just that love, then you would really notice that, hey, these guys are doing something different and they are disciples of God and they just want to honor him. So I think everybody would be like, hey, I want to go on this ride instead of the Rutanga rides. So that was truly amazing. I also realized the significance of being surrounded by fellow Christians and fellow believers. It was just so easy to be in the spirit the whole time. We all just lifted one another up. When I wanted to pray in the morning, I could just instantly feel the presence of the Lord on me, and it was just a profound experience. But later, Philip and I shared at cell that it's great to have that. It's awesome. But when we come back into the world, it's then when we need to be stronger, actually, because this is where we need to now go make a difference and really, really stand out and not just be like in this covering of awesomeness. Another amazing thing that happened to me is Philip once again challenged me during worship to just go stand next to one of the girls there and just lay hands on her. And I said, yes, I'll do that. And I was walking over and I just put my hand on her and I just started feeling like you need to pray for her. And as I started praying, I could just feel the Holy Spirit leading me into specific prayer for her. And it's the first time that something like this has ever experienced to me. It was just amazing. I was feeling just the Holy Spirit working through me and just ministering to her. And it was loud. The worship was epic. People were like, Jesus, I love you. And it was just crazy. So so I don't even know if she could have heard what I said, but I could feel as I was praying specific things, I could just feel the release. I could just feel her letting go of stuff. And it was just a profound experience. And I'll remember that for the rest of my life. And I know how that just took my belief to the next level. And it was just amazing. Then let's say as we were going back home, we're driving back home. Now we were all friends and we were all just in this moment. Philip and I were sitting next to Pastor Itai and just taking in scripture. He knows the Bible like the back of his hand. And JP was teaching to the girls there, and it was really, you could just feel God's presence on the bus as we went back. And it was really a profound experience just to have gotten such unity and just such a longing and desire for truth and everything. But afterwards, or in between, when I was on my own, when I had my own thoughts to think about, I was trying to make sense of what did I experience and what did I learn. And I was just thinking and trying to get stuff sorted and get things in line and trying to think, what am I going to say today? And I couldn't. I just sat there and I was overwhelmed with just too much information, and I couldn't get anything together. And I went to bed that night very disappointed, and woke up the next day still not knowing what to do. And eventually, Wednesday morning, Pastor Itai shared something on the WhatsApp group we made, and I just felt compelled to just reply. And as I was typing that message, I could just feel, once again, this is now coming from the heart. And right then, everything started to fall in line, and I realized that the reason why I was struggling so to get everything sorted and get everything in place is because I was using my intellect to analyze what convergence meant to me. And I realized then that I'm never going to get there. I'm never going to be able to analyze and to quantify who God is and what he meant for me then and what happened. And I realized that we must let go of our intellect, and we must trust in the Holy Ghost and let he reveal these truths to us and the experiences. And just to become vessels so that he can work through us to influence other people and bring kingdom on earth. So I really encourage you guys to just let go of yourself and just trust in the Holy Ghost and just become vessels for his purpose. And that's it. Thanks, guys.
Morning, church. I'm a bit nervous and just a bit unsure of what I'm doing. Because up until this morning, I really, really didn't know what I was going to share. And I was really hoping to not really share anything. And Anna Marie just challenged me that I must just come up here and just and just share what I think the Lord has laid upon my heart. So my prayer really is that I'm going to say it with humility and meekness. And I just hope that everyone will come back to church after this, you know. Okay. What I'm going to share really is that, way before the convergence, I had a specific reservation, really, about hanging with, not really hanging per se, but just being with people from different races, because, you know, they always had a habit of, like, for example, if maybe you find them talking and then you join them, they had a habit of, like, just talking in their language when you are there. And I didn't really like that. And also because one time I went to intercession, and when I went there, people kept talking in Afrikaans. And while they were talking in Afrikaans, one of them would say, Martha, you don't understand Afrikaans, right? Then they would switch to English, and then immediately again Afrikaans and stuff like that. So that made me like, no, I'm not even going to hang around people of different races and stuff like that. But nevertheless, so I decided that I was going to go to Convergence. And in my mind, I was thinking, okay, my usual clan, you know, will also be there probably. And then I can obviously be comfortable with them, and then we can talk our language and, just relate in that way and stuff like that. But to my surprise, when I got to the bus, like, none of them were there. None of them were there at all. And people that were there, I was probably just used to Philip. But everybody else I was not used to. And I was like, oh, my goodness, what's going to happen here? This is a bit awkward, you know. So I got in the bus, and I remember sitting next to Philip and, surrounded by the Afrikaans people. And I'm like, oh, my God. What's going to happen here? What are we even going to talk about and stuff like that? So that's what happened. We went to Convergence, and it was really, really just so amazing. Being on the bus with people that I wasn't used to at all, and just creating such a relationship that I would not have created at all if my usual clan, like the Sarahs, the Scholars, and Angoras, if they were there, I was not going to build that kind of relationship. And really, I just give God the glory for that. But it didn't really end there. So we go to Convergence, and one night we went out to grab McDonald's. So while we're eating McDonald's, I actually joined the table with the Afrikaans speakers, and lo and behold, they started speaking Afrikaans again, and I'm like, you really like speaking Afrikaans, don't you? And really, they kind of like really just continued with Afrikaans and stuff, and I was really grieved, really, really. I wasn't really offended, but I was just very sad, you know, that I couldn't actually mingle freely with them because of the language barrier, you know, and of course at that time they had not realized the impact at all. Because I remember, like, so I walked away and I was like, no. So I was really so sad that I even stood up from the table, and then I decided that, you know what, let me just go in the bus and sit there and reflect, and yeah, you know. Yeah, so I stood up and then I went to the bus. When I got to the bus, outside there were street kids, and I'm so scared of street kids, by the way. So they were there, like a whole lot of them, tormenting me and stuff, so I had to come back inside. When I came back inside, I went to sit with the others, with the people that I could speak with. And yeah, just while being there, really, the Lord started to minister to me about the whole issue. But not really, really fully, though. And then, yeah, we were there speaking in English, and I could see them speaking the Afrikaans, and we are both laughing, but at different tables, and it just felt so wrong in my heart. And I was really just so grieved, and I was saying, God, is this the way it's supposed to be, you know? We are children of God. We are all children of God, but are we supposed to really be divided, like, even though the demarcations are not so physical and they are not so clear, but is this the way it's supposed to be, really, you know? So I was actually sitting there speaking in English with my fellows and looking at them, but in my heart I was wondering so much, and I became so, so grieved by that. So I went back to the hotel, and obviously, at least I had a chance of talking to Esther. Like, for the first time, I could speak to Esther, and I told her that, you know what, Esther, like, can I just, like, urge you, like, next time maybe somebody of a different race joins your group and you're with fellow Afrikaans people, can you guys just be mindful of them and just talk in English, you know, just so that they may also be part of the conversation and feel part of the group as well and stuff like that. Yeah, so that was really awesome. And in the morning when I went to the, I think it was a Saturday morning, yeah, when I went to the Convergence, the pastor was really just talking about loving God, like the church coming to the place of loving God and loving each other as we love ourselves, you know. And while I was there, like, the whole incident really kept playing on my mind. And I remember really just falling down and really, really grieving so much, because that incident actually, it then started reminding me myself of times when I treated somebody else the very same way, and you know, and also other times when it happened, especially in the church, and I was so grieved, I started praying to God, and I said, God, this is just not right. Like, how can we actually go to the outside world and show them that we love each other if there is still this clear demarcation between us, and we probably don't know it, you know? And I started praying, I said, God, you know, I'm not even going to tell the group, like, how this really impacted me and why I really, really stood up. And then I just said, you know, but God, I really just pray that each one of them, you show them an experience of something they went through relating to the same thing, you know, just so that they can actually understand the impact or the reason why we need to really kind of, like, I don't know how to say it, but why we need to accommodate each other, especially in the church, you know. So anyways, the pastor kept preaching about the need for us to love each other, to love one another, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and that was really a challenge. And I was just praying, I was saying, God, okay, really, I hope that, you know, Shofar Windhoek especially can really come to a place where we really just put all these things behind. Yeah, so anyway, so we came back to Convergence. I mean, sorry, we came after Convergence, like, on our way back to Windhoek. We had a picnic We had a picnic at one of the dams, and while we were there, I was really surprised. While we were there eating our food, JP started, and yeah, he really just apologized, you know, and for the whole language thing and stuff like that. And one of the participants actually went in, Mariska, and then she started sharing about a similar experience she had and stuff like that. And, you know, it was just so spiritual. Like, I know that it sounds really small and stuff like that, but when she shared that and the fact that we could all relate, and it really just broke those boundaries in a sense, and it really, really drew us a bit more closer, to be very honest with you. And it was really, really just so lovely. So when I was preparing, I had so many things that I wanted to share with the group. Really, you know, some seemed really spiritual and stuff like that. But the Lord challenged me to actually share this experience with you. And he gave me a scripture. The one, it's found, I think it's in Matthew 16, verse is it 24 or 26? I'm not too sure. 16, yeah. Where it says that if anyone wants to come after him, he must deny himself, you know. And denying ourselves, especially with regard to this and obviously everything else, is that all of us are children of God, whether we are black or white, you know. To God, there is really no color. We are all just one, you know. And he really just challenged me to share that, you know, we should really come to a place where we don't come to church because there's Sarah and there's Nangura that I can go and share with in the same language and relate in a specific way, or where there's JP and Philip that can relate also in a specific way. But we should really come to church so that we may put aside all those things and love each other, because the church is the only example that the world can see, you know, Christ, you know, and that we need to really come to a place where we get out of our comfort zones. We should really get out of our comfort zones, because the church is not only for blacks, it's not only for whites, and it's not only for coloreds, but it's for a chosen generation, for a people that are chosen by God to go and preach the gospel, you know. And people that we're going to preach to, they have different colors, and they are so divided. They are already so divided in the world. We cannot afford to be in the church and actually be divided as well at all, because we need to show a picture of Christ's love, you know. And it has to begin with us. It has to begin with the church. Really, it really, really has to begin with the church. And, that's basically what I really want to share about. And my prayer is that, you know, it becomes a reality in Shofar, Windhoek, really, that we may love each other and that we may get out of our comfort zones and really just begin to mingle with each other. Like right now, for the first time, I'm so comfortable around white people. I love you guys. And, oh, yeah, just today I sat with Esther, and I'm loving it. I don't feel awkward about it. And yeah, I just pray that everybody comes to that place as well, you know, where we just feel comfortable around each other, because we are one. We are children of God. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to pray quickly. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for this moment, Lord, in time, Lord, that you've ordained, Father God. I just pray, Lord, that I can share now from your heart, Lord, what has happened at Convergence, Lord, and your heart for Shofar Church, Lord. And I just pray for your seed to be planted, Lord, and that it will grow and produce your fruit in us. It will take us to the next step, Lord, in you, in being your church, what it means to be your bride, Lord, what it means to be waiting for you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in your mighty name, Lord. Amen. So, John Piper, he gave this teaching once on why is it that when people, it was a Passion conference, there's this, I don't know if you guys know about Passion, but there's this massive youth conference that they have there in the States with Louis Giglio and John Piper and like all these good preachers. And he said, why is it that people come together and preach and sing and preach and sing at conferences like that? You know, why do you do that? Is it just because everyone else does it, or is it because there's a reason behind it? Yeah, and the reason why we should have the reason that we should have in our heart for doing it is because of the good news of Christ, of the gospel of Christ. And I know all of us aren't at that place. Even coming to church, we're not here because of the news always. We're here because, you know, it's kind of a comfortable place and, you know, our motives aren't just alone on Christ. But, don't worry. I'm not trying to be hard on us. I'm just trying to say, don't want to say wake up to us, but we have to, I have in my heart that we have to wake up to what it means to be the church. So we had all these awesome speakers. Rick Gosso, I don't know if you guys have heard of him before, but he spoke about God's using him amazingly, him and his church. What's the town where Rick's church is at? Is it Denver or something? In Colorado, right? Yeah, Denver, Colorado. And basically what God's been doing through them is they've used his church to really reach out into communities. Everyone in his church basically open up their homes to be foster parents. And just the whole kingdom dynamic has happened in his church. So he comes and he brings that vision to us, to what it really means to be Christians, you know, not just living for ourselves, but actually getting our eyes off ourselves and into the communities and being that place of healing and that source of healing that the communities around us need. Okay, so he brought that. That was awesome. Pastor Fred May brought this, like Esther was, where's Esther? Like Esther was in Kreipberg. Like Esther was sharing about planting the seed in us of what it really means to know God and not just know him. To know the word and live the word, not just know the word. And I'll just share quickly on that. There's two words in the New Testament for knowing. The one means general knowledge, or widis, or wida, and the other one means divinely inspired intuition. So it's basically, it's in your being and you live it out. It's called gnosko. It's based on personal experience. It's based on knowing the Lord God, on knowing Jesus. And basically what's very powerful for me, what he said there, is when we start to know Christ in a relationship, the world will start to know him. Okay, so that was pretty cool. Obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard of Dr. Cornei Becker. Really, I really like him. I really like his teaching. It's like, yeah, you know. And like every word he says, you have to chew on it. And it's like, it just feels like you're getting overstuffed, you know, like those geese that get stuffed with the pipes. Yeah. And, okay, so he was finishing off the conference, and the conference's topic was God's building. We are God's building. You're sitting here, you are God's building. And he said that, this is very powerful what he said, you know, you can believe it and be ready for it or not, but he said that we are on the verge of the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And that was like mighty. And the question is in my heart, are we ready for it? Will you be ready to handle miracles going on around you, people getting saved? Will you get lost in the maelstrom or the hurricane of it all? Or will you keep your eyes focused on Jesus? And are you praying for something like that, for God really to work? Okay, and he summed up the conference where he said, God is building a home for himself. God is building a home for himself. Okay, the Bible says we are all living stones. Each and every one of us who believe in Jesus and who follows him, each and every one of us is a living stone. And God is building us up together for a dwelling place for him in the spirit. Okay, so God is building a home for himself. He is building a holy habitation. This morning in intercession, Jock felt the word of holiness. God said, be holy, for I'm holy. Esther said, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he really, can I say he's my shepherd? Because he has to be my Lord in order for him to be my shepherd. Am I living obedient life to him? At the altar call at the conference, I felt that I had to go in front because I felt unsaved at that moment. The fact that I knew that God wasn't my Lord in that moment, I knew it, and I had to go confess. And the Holy Spirit broke, opened up a lot of stuff in my heart about past sins, of the stuff that I did and stuff that happened to me, and even as a small boy, and terrible stuff. But I had to repent of those things. And it's amazing that God provided a pastor for me that I could share it with, Pastor Crystal from Sirius. And, you know, you think you're saved now, but you still got to deal with those things. Anyways, it's part of becoming holy. So God is building a building for himself, a home for himself. He's building a holy habitation, and that home is you. So that's very powerful, and it's very profound to know that God wants to indwell you. It's the mystery of the ages, according to the New Testament. He wants to make his home inside of us, but we need to be completely holy in order for that to happen. Okay, so, and he says, I'm going to finish off, two things concerning our purpose. Okay, so your purpose, you're sitting here. Two things concerning your purpose, and you're sitting here. Before the foundation of the world was laid, God determined that you will be holy. The ultimate end of our lives is that God makes his home in us, and we find our home in him. He has determined this before time, and he has elected us. So, what I just experienced amazing unity there, like Esther and Henke already shared, the unity that was, I don't know how many people was there, maybe 1,000 or 1,000 putti. Do you know how many people was there? 1,800. So basically 2,000 people were there, and we were sitting there, and the unity in the spirit was like, we were one. And that's what God wants for his church. And we need to come to that place as well. And Philip, you sure you don't want to share? Okay. Yeah, and I got to know my brother Inku very well. You know, we all stayed in the Gruno chalets together that Anna Marie organized for us. And it's like six guys in one room. And we ended up rofstwing every night. This Henku was kept on irritating me. He wanted to fight the whole time. Yeah, and Philip also made me scared. we had good times together, you know, and as Martha shared, it was really powerful what the Lord did in our hearts, you know, the fellowship. You know, we stayed in French Hook, which is an hour away from Canal Walk, so we were driving. We had very little sleep, so we had to get up early every morning, and we were driving there, an hour there, an hour back at night, stopping at McDonald's halfway, and everyone's complaining because it's McDonald's, but nothing else is open, and yeah, I was really blessed. I'm just thankful to the Lord for it, and I had spent some time with my friend Philip and really got to know Henku a lot better and all the other people as well. Yeah, and I'm really thankful for my brothers and my sisters that God's given me. You know, coming here from Swakopmund, it's hard to be on your own when you're away from your family, you know, and this is my family. I really feel strong when I'm with you guys. Okay.
Right. Thank you for everyone that prayed for our outreach in Rundu. While I was busy driving, I asked the Father, "Father, I need your word. I need your word." And I was busy preparing, but I just felt, no, this is not the word. And I just felt God said, like my brother prayed the other day, I need to go into his rest. He will take over. And he did take over. While I was driving and praying, God put this word in my spirit. He said, I am the King of Kings. And every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And the Lord told me, every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Those that have died many years from now, those that will still live, on every knee shall bow. Just imagine that picture to the King of Kings. Yes. Man, I'm shaking. Yeah. Because he is a holy God. And I saw him this weekend. I saw him. Be holy, for I am holy. And we went to the youth conference, and the theme of the youth conference was counting the cost of following Jesus. If you understand who the King of Kings is, you will obey him. For he is greater. He is full of love. He's full of mercy. And God, when we arrived in Rundu, I almost died from the heat. Man, everything was sticking. We couldn't open the windows for the mosquitoes. They came and I was sleeping next to my brother. I said, okay, just kill the one and the other will go for the funeral. You know, but that didn't happen. Man, they are busy. They are busy. Right, if we can just be like the mosquitoes. Being busy with God and his work. But I went to one school and to invite the young people personally, and they said, okay, you have two classes. I said, okay, I'm ready for that. When I came there, they say, no, 9 classes. And I said, God, I don't know what to say. And God pressed on my heart the following scripture. And he said, join with me in suffering. Join with me in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. Join with me in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. And God prays on my heart, I need to ask the young people, what does a soldier do? And they all say, they fight. I say, well, many wants to be a soldier of Christ, but have you counted the cost? Because the words say join in suffering. If you want to be a soldier of Christ, there will be suffering for the sake of Jesus. Everyone, the word says, everyone who desires to live a godly life, you will be persecuted. Some will love the truth, some won't. And God ignited something in the young people there that they need to start standing as soldiers for Christ. They need to start dealing with sin in their lives. We need to start dealing with sin because he's a holy God and we are his people. Because a soldier, you cannot have a picnic in the battlefield. You need to be ready always in your personal life and in the harvest field. It's not easy to evangelize, always. When I almost passed out from the heat, but God said, continue my word. And he gave me strength. And we started the conference. I want to tell you how amazing is Jesus Christ. The last song we sang, Be My Everything. We started the conference with the song, Be My Everything. And God was asking the young people, is Jesus your everything? It's easy to say. And I shared a testimony of a young woman that died in Saudi Arabia. She was beaten by her own brother because Jesus became her everything. And Jesus, when we love Jesus, it will cost you. Don't think love will come cheap. Love is commitment. Love is, you need to die like our other friends said, Matthew 16 verse 24, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Love don't come cheap. And many young people, one boy afterwards, he testified, he said, every time when I go home, I just think evil thoughts. But after the conference, I felt a stirring in my heart. And God was busy with me. And now I think the things of God. It was a stirring. We dressed up like soldiers, like ISIS, and stormed into the church. Everyone was lying on the floor, praying. And after that, they realized they took their faith for granted. They took freedom for granted. And many young people there realized, I need to step up with my relationship with Christ. As a soldier, I need to discipline myself. And a soldier can even die in the battlefield. And many young people at the end, they stood up for Christ and said, now I count the cost for Jesus Christ. Many gave their hearts as well to Jesus Christ because that is where the walk starts. And they say, okay, Lord, I give everything. Even though I go home and my parents don't know Christ, I will still stand no matter how hard it is because I understand the pain you went through. Paul say that I may know him so that I can experience the power of his resurrection, but also to share in his suffering, Philippians, to share in his suffering. And we just brought the reality from Sunday that suffering for the name of Christ is part of the plan of Jesus Christ for your life. Go read the word. I'm not speaking false teaching. All right? You can go read. And that is all. That is all. God ministered to me. And the whole weekend, Jesus just say, fix your eyes on me. Fix your eyes. Because I came there, there was so much false teaching. I said, Lord, what is this? So much prosperity. And the people were blinded. And I just experienced God's heart. When you share the truth with people, it's a responsibility. Peter, Jesus said to Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. But what do you feed? You feed God's sheep with. The only word. Thank you so much. Counting the cost for following Christ. But my question to you this morning is Jesus your everything? It's easier said than done. But we need to come to a place where we submit our lives fully to him. All right, thank you.
Okay, who was here last week? Paul preached about the prodigal son and so forth. And I spoke to him afterwards. And especially about the prodigal son, where the brother that stayed at home was angry that his father just took back the brother. And I said to him, the Lord has really started ministering to me about that. I just feel the reason that he was so angry and that he thought he was never entitled to everything or anything is because of his relationship with his father. There was no clear communication. There was no real relationship. And I just felt it through what you guys were saying as well, that for us to become an army, a group that can really work together, is we have to communicate with each other. We have to be in relationship with each other. And how do you do that? It's by spending quality time together. I mean, we spend a lot of time together in church, but we don't really know each other. I'm talking about no, you know, that heart no. Sometimes you meet someone and you just have this immediate bond. With other people, you have to work at it. We have to look past our own fears and our own things and everything. But I just felt that is the what you brought back is just knowing God, knowing each other. If we want to be ready for a revival, we have to be a strong unit. And for a strong unit, we need communication. We need relationship. Okay. So, yes, I just want to pray and say thank you for everything. Lord, thank you that you have such special times with us when we go to conferences, when we come to church. Lord, I pray that you will teach us to make such special times during the week as well. Not only with you, Lord, but with other people as well. Lord, that we will step out of our comfort zones and approach people that we won't normally approach, Lord. That we will speak to people that we will not normally speak to. That we will set fear aside, Lord. That we will see people through your eyes and love them through your love. Lord, that we will become goal-orientated, Lord, and that goal is to become a strong unit, Lord, with clear communication, so that we can be ready for the harvest, Lord, so that our skeleton, our church skeleton, can be big enough, Lord, to receive the harvest that you're going to send us. So that every bone is in place, Lord. Every bone, so that all the meat can come, Lord. And that we can grow like a little child into a strong person, Lord. And I just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.